That's the show today. We're going to try to finish up Simin Kof Hei, which, as we keep on saying, is all about how time transfers, and therefore is, in a certain sense, the most fundamental Simin in Hilchos Bas Brachot and Taharoves. There's one topic left. It takes up Sif Tes 3 Yudalit, and that is the topic of Meliach Kiroseach, that in addition to transference of time through Bishul and through Tzli and through Kavush, we also have a transference of time through Melicha, through salt. So that's what the end of the Simon is all about. It's based on the Gemara in Chul Tzadizayin and Beit, which says that Meliach Kiroseach, but the Gemara further qualifies that it's Dirotech, the Tzli Ka'amar, it means it's Meliach Kiroseach of Tzli, because it's not like you put it in a pot where it spreads out evenly throughout the entire pot. As we know, when it comes to tzli, it only goes to a container tila. So it's like roasting together. It's not like it's cooking together in the liquid. So the Gemara said that even if everything is cold, we view it as if it's hot, and the time transfers through Meliach Kroseach. The Gemara then on Kufi Beis Amin Aleph says, yeah, but that doesn't mean everything that has any salt in it. You know, it has to be really salty to the point of Eino Nechel Machmas Molcho, that it's too salty to even eat. When it's inedibly salty, then it's Meliach Kroseach. So there's one that's Rishonim between Rashi on the one hand and one of the Balei Atosos, Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael, who is a notable Balei Atosos because he's, I think, the only one that has two names. Usually Rishonim didn't have two names. Rishonim, for the most part, only had one name. The idea of giving two names came up later in history when there were, I guess, two Zaydis to name after or whatever, and then, but that can get out of control really quick. You know, sometimes you have a Gabbai's nightmare where a guy has like four names, then three names or something. But Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael, even when they used to have two names, it was always two of the same, right? Yaakov and Yisrael are very much associated with each other. But anyway, so Rashi and Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael, so you have such a machlokas, where it has to be very, very salty that you would bring it on a boat. Rashi and Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael, I think, are on one side of the machlokas, that they hold that it has to be so salty that you would bring it on a boat for months and the salt would serve as a preservative and it wouldn't spoil. But that's how meluach it has to be. Usually Rabbi Tam says, it doesn't have to be that salty because we know what melicha is. We do melicha all the time, right? Whenever you're going to cook meat in any other way other than sli, you need melicha. So it's the level of melicha that you do in order to work in place of, that sli would be able to sort of substitute for. So we do melicha for 18 minutes and it works in place of sli. So apparently a short amount of time salting suffices to remove the dam, so probably that's the same type of melicha that's necessary. So back in Simin Tzadi Aleph, Sefei, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Ke'en melich shemolchem l'kadeira, v'sha k'dei melich l'kadeira, kolz ma'ach shedichu mikrei n'nech l'mach l'smolch. The name n'nech l'mach l'smolch is the amount of salt that you were doing, salting meat, if you haven't yet rinsed off the salt from the meat, which is of course something that we do, we rinse off the salt from the meat. Now, that's the basic thing. The basic thing is Meliach Harei Kroseach up to a Kedei Tila, because it's Kemeliach Titzli, and then it's got to be only if it's Eino Nechel Machmas Molcho, but it could even be Tzodim. Now, there is a Machlokas Rishonim about the impact of a Dabar Shamim on Meliach Harei Kroseach. I mean, because we've seen previously that even when something can't travel very far, but if there's a Dabar Shamim, if there's a fatty food, then all of a sudden it's able to travel much, much further. So there's a three-way Machlokas Rishonim what sort of impact the Dabar Shamim has on the rules of Meliach Kroseach. The Ramban in Tzadi Zayin Amalaf and the Ra'ah write that while both Tzli and Meliach cannot be measured for Shishim because it doesn't affect an even spread like Bishul does, but there's a difference between Tzli on the one hand and Meliach on the other hand. When you do Tzli on a Dabar Shamim, it would aser the entire meat. But by Melicha, even if you have Dabar Shamim, it's not Mepapeya, and we're not even even if there isn't Shishim. You don't need Shishim connecto. Meaning, essentially, Mepapeya doesn't apply to Melicha. The idea that Shamim is gonna take the tam and it's going to spread it throughout the entire Chaticha that it's next to, that's not going to work when it comes to Melicha, even though it does work when it comes to Tzli. That is the Shita of the Ramban and the Ra'ah. The Rashba, Tzadizayin Amalal, wonders, he says that there's a shita of Ravina in the Gemara that Meliach is stronger than Rotea. So he says, I understand. We don't pass on Ravina. We don't pass on that Meliach is even stronger than Rotea. But it's hard to say that it's weaker to the extent that with Rotech of Hefei Bekulo, and this isn't going to be Hefei Bekulo with the Dabar Shabbat. He brings a raya from Dafkuk Gimel that the Gemara says that Dagim Tahorim Shemalchim Dagim Tmeim Asurim, that if you salt kosher and non-kosher fish together, the kosher fish become Asur. And it never says Asur B'Kidei Klipa, that it's only Asur up until K'day Klipa. It sounds like Asur, either Bekulo or at the very least in K'day Matila. And the Rashba holds that if you have the Davar Shamein, it could become Batal B'Shishim in the item next to it because it spreads Bekulo. And therefore he says the same is true when it comes to Malicha, meaning that even Bekulo we assume it goes Bekulo when it's a Davar Shamein. So again, so far two Shitas, Ramban and the Ra'ah, that when it comes to Maliach, we don't have such a din that the Davar Shamein is Mepakeh B'Kulo that it's going to be able to spread throughout the entire other item. The Rashba, that absolutely it does, and even the Kula, even to allow for Bittul B'Shishim. The Ritva also holds that there's no difference between Malicha and Tzli, but he holds that when it comes to Tzliyas Davar Shamein, you can't measure shishim, and the basar is also regardless, because there are going to be pockets of the chalav maluach. So to by melicha, you can't measure shishim. So meaning of the tzli. So to by melicha, you can't measure shishim. So he holds that yes, it's a pekulah that goes into the whole thing, but it's a davar shamein. But that therefore is always going to be a chumrah. That it's never going to be a kula, because you never know when you're going to hit a pocket. You know, sometimes when you eat a food, and there was one area where the spice didn't spread out enough, and like you bite into like a chunk of black pepper or something, and but it just didn't spread evenly enough, so that can happen in terms of the tam that gets transferred. So those are three basic shitos as far as what happens with davar shamein. There's also a discussion in the Rishonim about, the Gemara talks about Yerushim especially the Magid. And if you take the thigh of the animal and you cook it together with the gid, what if nimlucha imgida? Is it the same as being nitzlah, as being roasted together with the gid? So the Rambam, as understood by Nosei Kelim, holds that it's the same as tzli in Parak Zayim Achalos Asuros, and he says you can eat up until the gid on Asher Mamish. The Ra'ah and the Ritva say no, you need nitila for both. You need nitila both by tzli, meaning it is the same as tzli, but you need to take your day nitila by tzli, and you would need it for malicha also. And the Rash writes now, even though by tzli you need nitila for malicha, even a klifa is enough. And even though Ravina holds a malicha for a sef means that it's like bishul, that it's worse than tzli, we don't pass like Ravina, meaning everyone has to deal with this shita of Ravina. Why is everyone so worried about the Shita of Ravina that we don't pass like? Again, the Shita of Ravina is that Maliach is Kroseach, not the Tzli. Maliach is Kroseach, the Bishul. That Manishka, affects the full transference of time throughout the entire other item. So the reason people are nervous about Ravina's Shita, even though everyone, all the Rishonim acknowledge, we don't pass in that way, is that normally you don't find Machlokas Minakotze Alakotze. You're not going to find one person that says that Maliach is so effective at transferring time, it's even stronger than Tzli. And then another sheet that says, oh, it's less than Tzli. If there's going to be a machlokas, the general mahalich is that we minimize the machlokas. So you're not going to find two opposite extremes. So effective that it's worse than Tzli. So the other sheet is going to be that it at least is the same as sleep, but not that it's going to be less than sleep. So that's what they're all trying to figure out over here. Okay, so far all we did was we said the Maliach has a din ki roseach. We pointed out the machlokas Rishonim about what happens if it's a fatty item. Do we assume that puts it on a track to be able to spread fully? And then we discussed if you have a yarech that's nimlach in hagid. Now, the Gemara on Kufiyim Beis tells us that asul loch basar im dagim, lufisha dagim poltim is called tzirum kodim sheyiflo ta'ov es damav, that you're not allowed to salt meat with fish. Why? Because all of the juices of the fish are going to come out before the blood comes out of the of the meat from the oath, and therefore all the tama oath is going to come out, and now the fish is going to be ready to absorb all that tama oath, and the fish is going to be asur mishum dam, meaning that if you salt them together, because fish is the kind of meat that is more lends itself to have its, I guess, pungent juices extracted. So through melicha, that's going to happen very quickly, and the blood that comes out through the melicha from the oath is going to happen more slowly. So when the blood finally comes out of the oath, the fish is going to be receptive. It's not too busy being polite to be baleya. So the fish is going to be receptive to new bleos, and therefore it's going to be baleya all of this dam. So the dam, it's going to be, the fish is now going to be usher mishum dam. Not for anything else, but mishum dam. But so if you sold them together, you would need to take a kadei klipa from the dagim. So Tosa says, but if it has scales, then it would be mutter. Why if it has scales, it would be mutter? Because that's the function of scales. It protects the meat of the fish. So it protects the flesh of the fish. So whatever dam would have made its way into the fish is not going to make its way in when the scales are there to protect the fish. So now, that's what the Gemara says. So the Rishonim say, well, wait a second, this event says, I don't understand. You're worried that there's going to be a plata from the dam of the oath into the fish because maleach harei krasen. Yeah, when you're maleach them together. If you salt them together, shouldn't it be a problem that there's a plata from the fish to the chicken and the chicken to the fish? And therefore, everything should be asur mishum sakana? Meaning you're not allowed to meat and fish together. Meat and fish are asur anyway. Mishum sakana, why are you only worried about the dam? That the dam is going to come from the chicken and that's going to go into the fish. Forget about the dam. It's going to be asur mishum sakana anyway. So he says, you see from here, that maliach is not kiroseach when it comes to matters of sakana. That only when it comes to matters of blios, of hilchos kashrus, when it comes to sakana, kach kivlo, I guess, they ask the doctors that there's no sakana in such a case. The Rambam quotes this in Taras Chatas, and the Shach in Siman Ayin Sivkat Tazayin quotes it as well. Now the Taz writes that it's similar to eating them zeh achar zeh, that what it accomplishes, it's like eating meat or fish zeh achar zeh. And the Rambam Kuf Tazayin is the Siman that's all about Torah Masur Mishum Sakana. So when the Ramah talks about eating meat and fish, it says Yesh Omrim Shein Lachshush L'Dagim L'Basar Al Tashem Basham Yachem Ba'Ochlan Avlu Ochlosam Ba'Zeh Achar Zeh Ein Lachshush L'Mashanishar Bivu B'Yadah. Now you don't have to worry about whatever's left in your mouth or on your hands. V'chein Ogim Shol Nirchot Zapeh V'Loi Yadayim B'Neihem U'Mikol Mokom Yesh Lechol Dover B'Neihem V'Lishto Shazos V'Kinuach V'Adachah. And the Rama says, okay, it's better to do kinyan adat, to eat a solid food, take a little drink in between the fish and the meat. But really, technically, there's no problem when you eat one after the other. You have to be choshesh of what's left over. So that's what the Taz says. This would be comparable to that. That if you have a blia of fish into meat or meat into fish that comes about through blia groseach, it's not groseach mamish like you cook them together. That taco would be also mishum sakala. No, this would have the same halachic status of zeh achar zeh. It's not zeh achar zeh. It's at the same time, you're eating a chicken that has bleels of fish in it. You can't do that zeh achar zeh, but it has the same halachic status of zeh achar zeh. Shlomo Kluger, the Chacham Shlomo and Siman Ayin disagrees. And he says, no, this is taka sakana issue. Aye, what's the gosh of the sakana issue? How come the Gemara ignored the sakana issue? Meaning, if you do melicha, fish and meat together, the Isser Batis point was, why didn't the Gemara bring up sakana? Which brings you to the conclusion that there is no sakana. Comes along Shlomo Kluger, he says, no, of course it's a sakana. It's meat and fish together, of course it's going to be a sakana. When the Gemara says it's only worried about dam, that's because the Gemara was talking about the kalim that the items were salted together in, or other foods that were salted with them. And the Gemara took it as a foregone conclusion that whatever was salting, that the meat and the fish themselves are going to be usher. Of course, they're being malaya from each other, so of course they're going to be usher. Question is, do they chafe up the kalim? Do they chafe up other food vegetables that you're salting together with them? That was what the Gemara was talking about. We're worried about the dam, the plate of the dam. It's not the pashas of the Gemara at all. Right? The Gemara sounds like it's only because the fish is finished extracting the tzir that it's then going to be able to be balea the dam. So it's certainly not the simple mashmalos of the Gemara. That's what Shlomo Kluger writes in his commentary in the Chacham Shlomo in Siman Ayin. Now there is a machlokas mechaber amah in Sif Aleph, relating to Melech HaRoseach, do we apply Tasa'a Gavar when it comes to Melech HaRoseach? Meaning, what's the svar of Tasa'a Gavar? So presumably the svar is that heat rises, right? But that's the simplest understanding of the svar of Tasa'a Gavar. So when you're not working with heat, do you assume that Tam rises? Right? Do you assume that Tasa'a Gavar when it comes to Melech HaRoseach? So the Mechaber says Tasa'a Gavar. So Papa is Lamata, the Yisra Maliach Lamaila, that if you have a non-salty heter on the bottom and a salty Maliach on top, it's only going to ask for a Kadei Klipa, because Tasa'a Gavar, so add whatever, the transference works in such a way that it's only going to affect the Kadei Klipa. However, the Ramah writes, and by Melicha, it doesn't make any sense to be the Chalek to do what's on top, what's on the bottom. And therefore, the Halacha is going to be the same no matter what's on top, what's on the bottom. That Machlokas is reported in the Torah of the Beis Yosef. It is reported in the Torah already. Beis Yosef explains the distinction exactly like the Shach in Sefkat Memalim. Right? The Shach will be here on Sifid Aleph, in Sifkat Mem Aleph. The Shach writes, it's gonna cool off or heat up the other one. Ki kein derech told us or. That's the way fire works. Meaning what the Shach is saying, he's saying the svara that when it comes to heat, the whole question is, does the hot food transfer its heat to the cold food? Or does the cold food transfer its coldness to the hot food and cool it down? No one holds that when you take a davar meluach and you take a davar tafel, that at the end of the day, after they've been put together, after they've been in contact with each other, that the davar tafel is now salty, that it's now a davar meluach. No, it's just that because you have a davar meluach, that affects the transfer of tam from the meluach to the tafel. But it doesn't actually make it into a salty item. Nor does anyone hold that the davar tafel will now unsalt the davar meluach. That you have the davar meluach that's einu nechamach mazmalcho, and now it's next to a tafel. You're not going to say, "Oh, now the salty food is not salty anymore." Of course, it's still salty. It's just as salty as it always was. It's only about the transference of tam, and therefore lamata lamata is not going to make an ounce of difference. That's the way the Shach explains in Sivkatan Mem Aleph. So essentially, you know, when we say Melech HaRoseach, what it ultimately boils down to, what every issue is gonna come down to, is how literally do we take it? Meaning every detail about Kiroseach, we have to figure out, is it Mamish Kiroseach, or is it a little bit different than Roseach? So that's the that's what comes out really of every single si'if that we have over here. Now in Sif Yudalit, the Shulchan Aruch writes, go through this quickly. Melech ha'beluah midan, if you have salt that's beluah midan, k'gon m'lichas basar, you salted meat and therefore there's dam that came out, v'naslu b'kedera, and then you take that blood-drenched salt and you put it into a kedera, o sh'naslu b'kedera basar beluah beluah adacha, im yeshish m'chegra melech lotu. So you take salt that's beluah midan and you put it into your chicken soup. So it's basar b'shisha. Right? Even though, obviously, you're still going to taste the salt. Meaning it's going to taste, the chicken soup is going to taste saltier. So how can you say that it's batul b'shishim? Because the salt is not the problem. The salt is not the iser. It's the blood that's the iser. And the blood is batul b'shishim. So even though the blood is riding on the coattails of the salt, and you can detect the salt in the chicken soup, it's not going to chafe up the chicken soup. Einan eser yachol eser, beyond where the Yisra itself would go. That's the rule that we've had many times. It appears in Tosfos and a couple of places in the food. Now, yeah.
What's that?
Oh, so it comes along the Rambam. Sin tam dekedera, me'achas she'ena melech asur machmas atzva, ela machmas dam shebetocho, Rama felt the need to add an elaboration and an explanation of the year. And he says, I know what you're thinking. He doesn't use the word chadan, but he says, I know what you're thinking, that the salt is no sintam b'kdeira, therefore that should be a problem. But you should know that there's a klal that we have that we shouldn't say that ain't oser yachal leilcha, that kol makom shein oser yachal leilcha ain't a neser oser yoser min ha'osra. So what's going on in this conversation? It's exactly what Yonatan is pointing out, right? That the mechaber holds that chanan is only by basa b'chalav. So of course the mechaber is going to say you don't say chanan on the salt, and therefore the dam becomes batel b'shishim of the chicken soup. So you're perfectly fine, and the mechaber is perfectly happy leaving it at that. If yesh shishim, it's going to be mutter. So of course the soup is going to be mutter. The salt is not the yisur. But the Ramah holds chanan b'shari surin. Right? I think on one of the signs it talks about the chumrah of the Ramah. That one, yeah. The Ramah says chanan b'shari surin. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. That's what he thought was funny. That one was actually a little funny. So the Ramah, who says chanan b'shari surin, so he said, then you have to ask, wait a second, if the salt is drenched with blood, then the salt is chanan, and if the salt is chanan, shouldn't it aser the chicken soup? So that's why the Ramah has to say that since the salt is not in Yisra Machmas Atzmo, we apply the principle of Vein Anasar Osar Yosar Mina Osra. Which means, which is another way of saying that chanan works as far as a measurement of how much you need, shishim keneged what, right? But as far as the ability of tam to be detected, chanan is not going to play a role. Chanan is not going to impact. If you look at the Taz in Sivkat and Lamed, Av Bisha Melchon Zatam, Ayin Mash Chasav Nisum and Tzadi Ches Siv Ches, Bedid Da'avid L'tamei, Umashikos Vator Katsov, Basim Tzorek L'shar, Kilo Yekol Adam Melach. Pirish, Delomani Shishim, Kolz Man Shatam Nirgash, He quotes a Torah, disagrees with the Ramah and the Mechaber over here. Now, the fact that the Ramah is Mekel, that's a Chiddush. The Torah doesn't agree with that, but the fact that the Mechaber is Mekel, that's obvious. The fact that the Ramah is Mekel is a Chiddush, and the Torah doesn't agree. That the Torah, after all, says that if it's no sintam, then it's going to be a problem. So the Torah argues with that there. He says you have to measure as if all the blood is salt, and we should say afilu be'elef lo batel. And then the Taz writes v'chein kazer Ramah sof simen tzadiches. And the Ramah writes the same thing at the end of simen tzadiches, which same thing as what? Same thing. So if you just read the Taz and you don't look things up, you know, so like, oh, same thing as what I just said in the name of the Torah. No, the same thing that Ramah says over here. He's not asking Akasha. He's saying, and the Ramah is remarkably consistent over here, that he goes not like the Torah, and he says the same thing as he says over here. That ain't a nes or yachlas or blah, 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 right? You know, however you finish. Right? That it's never going to be able to travel beyond where it went. So the Taz says that Ramah says the same as he does over here. And it doesn't contradict Chanan. Chanan is about the amount that would cause bittul. The koach ha-nesar is only as strong as the oser. So if the nesar is a vidal taima and not the oser, then we don't view it as a vidal taima. Meaning the oser over here is the dam. The nesar is the salt. The nesar is not going to have stronger koach than the oser. The oser is not a vidal taima. It's just dam. It doesn't give to any tam into the chicken soup. So mele, the salt is the fact that the salt gives tam into the chicken soup is going to be irrelevant. This is the shayla that someone put in the chat, or they just texted me privately with the lemon and the. This is exactly the issue of Eina Nasa, right? Meaning that it's a question that comes up usually for guys who are dating, right? Then they're in a hotel lobby and they get. You ask about a wedding, right? Whether you can trust the knives. Yeah, if there's a good hashkacha, then you can probably trust the knives. But if you, the lemon at in a hotel lobby, you don't know what knife they're using, they're not under hashkacha. So if you take out the lemon, the chorus should be okay, just remove the lemon. But if you squeeze the lemon into the soda, so then maybe it's even vatnus l'chachila. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that you can even squeeze the lemon into the soda. Because over here, you're not trying to get the tamad iser into your cook. You just want the taste of the lemon itself. Ay, chanan. this is not called in Vatnusilchatila. The Pashto says that Hanan makes a Ketalam in his Asr, it should have been a violation of Vein Vatnusilchatila. But maybe you could argue that the time of the lemon being in the soda is not the time of the Oser. The Oser, the time of the Oser, you're not going to have in the soda at all. And but you're taking even pachas mikshir, so isn't that a violation of mivatnis lechachila? No, you're doing it for a different reason. You're not trying to be mivatnis lechachila. You're trying to get the lemon juice. Okay, do without it. But you don't have to rely on kulas when it comes to these things.
Well, the Torah, as long as there's a reason to pass or another food, we're going to keep applying kanan. And the kanan jumps from piece to piece forever if you orchestrate it properly.
According to the Torah.
Yeah.
According to the Torah, yes, right?
And then if that soup that got the salt in it falls into another
it's also
soup,
going to be
and then it is a shishin, then that soup also becomes kanan, so then you need shishin kanega.
Right, that was the concept, but I'm sure I assume that every kate klipa should also the klipa next to it. Right? Yeah. Do we ever answer that question? We must have. I don't remember. Okay. Yeah. Well, now, I wanted to take, so that's basically Meliach Roseh. I don't understand Meliach Roseh. But I wanted to take the opportunity because we've been discussing a lot of inyanim that throughout Yeridea that relate to when we can be making the Habs in the Ruba, when we can't be making the Habs in the Ruba. So I wanted to like take a step back and talk about, I think Rabbi Reisman did it in his shiur, and I don't know if he did it in Kofiud or somewhere else. But I wanted to take a step back and talk about what the Gedarim of Hefs and Merubah are. And the reason I want to do it now and not where it comes up is because it doesn't really, the discussion of how to be Magdir Hefs and Merubah doesn't really come up in Hilchos Pasuk Chol Gedarim. It comes up in a weird place. Pesachichuv and Siman Lamed Aleph, Sifat and Beis, Hilchos Treifas. There's a very important Pesachichuv and Hilchos Treifas that helps to define Hefs and Merubah. It happens to be the Shulchan Aruch over there uses the term Hefs and Merubah. It's probably the first place in Yeridea that it uses the term Hefs and Merubah. So the Pesachei Tshuva says, let me tell you what a Hefs and Merubah is. Let me define Hefs, right? Meaning, you know, Rav Neuberger's story, we told that story where he was making on the China, and they said, do you know this family has two Mercedes parked in that driveway?
It was on the podcast.
Oh, Zandivash, it was on Koshimani. I tell it everywhere except for Yeridea. Okay, so Lamaisa, so whatever. Is Hefs and Merubah, you know, if someone's going to. The basic story is that Rav Neuberger said when he was a young rabbi, he got a phone call from someone he didn't know, and they said that they inherited the grandmother's china, and they wanted to know can they, the grandmother didn't keep kosher. Can they use the china? And it's very, very expensive. So he knew that Ramesh has a tshuva that he could be mitzayif the bala iter ulaz hagol gimel panim. And the Chacham Tzvi says that if it waits 12 months without using it, the blios all disappear. Together with the fact that it's hefs and merubah, and maybe even sorry the fact that there's a glaze on it, so maybe that it's not malaya. So to be making with the makom hefs and merubah, that they can do a bala gimel panim, they can use the china. And then someone called Rabbi Neuberger, another rabbi in the community, called him up and said, Rabbi Neuberger, do you know that family that you were just making for, that it's a hefs and merubah for them, that they have two Mercedes parked in the driveway? So he's so sure that it's a hefs and merubah for them. Meaning they're a wealthy family. How can you say hefs and merubah? So he said he felt very badly about that. He felt very guilty about it. So he came into Yeshiva of Dov Lipschitz, was in the Beis Medrash, and he went over to Rav David and he told him what had happened. And Rav David said, you shouldn't feel bad. You gave the right psak. Don't worry about it. It was all good. So Neuberger says that years later, he ran into somebody who he did not recognize. And the guy said, Rabbi Neuberger, it's because of you that he introduced him to all of his children, a bunch of little kids that were, you know, with little pays by the... I made up that part. that's the way I envisioned it. And he said, because of you, these kids are all from and they're in yeshiva today. And he said, what did I do? He said, because my wife and I, we were on, you know, we weren't really religious, and we were deciding whether we should become from or not. And I was very into it. I was like on fire, and my wife was not as into it, but she was willing to come along for the ride, provided that she gets to keep Grandma's china. And if she can't keep Grandma's china, then she's out. So we called you up. We looked up Rabbi in the phone book. We called you up, And you allowed us to keep Grandma's china because of that, you know, our families from today. So, okay, so does that mean it's the correct Pesach? I don't know. We have to see. I mean, Rav Dov said it's the correct Pesach. I don't remember who said it. But we have to define what's Hefsimrut. I mean, is it to put the title? No. They're very wealthy people. Can you call them a Hefsimrut? I was talking to Rav Shachter about the salad dressing case with the chicken. And he was also saying, he was talking about Hefsimrut, you know. Can they afford it? You know, maybe that's how you have to view Hefsimrut in this kind of case. Whether you're going to rely on these kinds of kulas. So really, Bischit Shuva talks this out a little bit, and he brings the poskim. Basically, there are three questions. They're all difficult. They're all shverit, you know, questions that you have to work on. One is how much is Hefsimrut? How big of a loss? Is it $100? Is it $1,000? Is it some percentage of your income? Is it how do we figure out Hefsimrut? The second is, what if it's not a Hefsimrut on one piece? Meaning each piece that I have is not a Hefsimrut. I just happen to have 100 pieces. Right? Meaning to throw out a plate that had a piece of trefa chicken on it, you know, that's not gonna be a Hefsimrut. Elamai, I've been using this dressing for the last 5 years, and every plate in my kitchen has these plios in it. So now it's going to be Hefsimrut, because I have to throw out an entire set of china. So do we call that Hefsimrut? Or, what happens very often is, in the kashrus industry, is that something might be a Hefsimrut for the company, but for the consumer, they'll be fine. You know, they'll just buy from the competitor. You know, they'll be okay. You know, there's not going to be a Hefsimrut for the person who's not able to purchase that item. It's only a Hefsimrut for the shechita house. The consumer's going to buy a chicken. It's not going to be a Hefsimrut for the consumer. Right? Yeah.
I'm just wondering, is it, when I'm being yori something, how is that, I didn't get it. Like, I'm not losing anything. I'm just not gaining something. How is that Hefsimrut?
First of all, you do own it. Your own things that you can get for Yerusha, so it's yours, and it's something that has great value. So that might be absolute, but maybe that's a fair question also. Meaning maybe it's a question of pas pasal or not pas pasal. Okay, good. So the case of the Bischit Tshuva, where the Bischit Tshuva talks about this, again, it's an endless trefa, so we'll just, you know, go through a little bit of the Rashi Prakim, is Nekiva Samoa, that the membrane that surrounds the brain has a hole in it. The membrane has a double layer. So if the membranes are pierced, then it's trefa. Right, if the membrane that surrounds the brain is totally cut through and through, then it's a trefa. We don't check for such a trefa, obviously, because it's not a very common trefa. We only check for that which is a miyad al-matzui. We don't check for that which is a miyad shein al-matzui. And there are lots and lots of trefas that we don't check for. But if you happen to notice it, then it's trefa. Right? That's what we pointed out. Statistically, we've all eaten trefa animals, trefa food at some point in our lives. Because you had chicken for dinner already, so it's only Monday, you probably had at least twice this week already, right? So if you have enough chickens over the course of time, and 0.1% of chickens have a trefa that we don't check for, so obviously you ate a trefa chicken at some point in your life statistically, but the halacha is that you don't have to check for such things. So if only, but the discussion Shulchan Aruch over there is, what if the Krum Achitzon has a hole, but the Pnim does not? That only the outer layer has a hole. So it's a Machlokes Rishonim, whether it's a Trefa. So the Rambam writes over there, B'makom, have some Ruba, you can be Mekel that it's not a Trefa. So that's what Bischit Tshuva says, oh, have some Ruba, my favorite topic. So let me talk all about have some Ruba. So let's take one question at a time, we'll see if we're able to get through all three today. On the first question, this Kachuva quotes the Nachla Shiva. Nachla Shiva says that a hefsid is more than 1/6 of the item, which really is 20% because it's Shus Bin Levar, then that's a hefsid Merubah. That's how, right, this Kachuva, let me see if I have a Lashon over here. Ayin Shuvas Har Carmel. Well, first he quotes the Nachla Shiva. Yardes and the Bimashim Kor become. If it's more than 1/6 of the base value, then that's called a hefsid merubah. But v'huz al chalekalav, the Tshuvas Har HaKarmel himself disagrees with this Nachla Shiva, and he says, you know, if the item is a cheap item, you say 20% is something cheap, it's called hefsid merubah. He says, I understand. Ain't no because of klal, it makes no sense to have a specific statistic hefsid merubah. He says, like the rabbi that called the Rabbi Neuberger and said, do you know that they have two Mercedes parking? Meaning it really depends on the people and how much money they have and how much of a loss it is to them. If lekabe who have some ruba mikri, have some ruba. If lekabe that person have some ruba, this have some ruba. Ha'ashir lefi ashrav, la'ani lefi anyo. That all based on the wealth or the poverty of the person. That doesn't help so much because there are amounts of money that will hurt if I have to pay it today. But you know, I don't know. How do you determine have some ruba even if I'm at my current financial bracket, right? So there are amounts of money that if I have to pay it today, it's going to hurt a little, you know, to pay it. But in the long run, is it going to be life changing? It's not going to change my life. I remember when I sold my first house. We owned a house in Cedars, right? After we moved out of our apartment, we bought a house in Cedars because I was a rabbinic intern. And then the assistant rabbi Shari Tefillah in Lawrence, and I certainly wasn't buying a house in Lawrence, so I would walk from Cedars to Lawrence. And then when we sold the house to move to North Woodmere, so there was whatever, I don't want to get into the whole story, but Lemaisa, someone offered us at the time, the house went skyrocketed in value at the time that the 3 years that we lived there, we bought it for like, I don't know, $450,000 and sold it, and then we had offers for $720 and for $700. But the 700 offer came in first, it was quite whatever it was. So I asked Rav Shachter what to do. He said, no, $20,000, what's the big deal? $20,000 sounds like a lot of money to me. Seems like kind of a big deal, but what he meant was, it's not going to change your life. You know, $20,000 here, $20,000 there, it's a lot of money. It's not going to change it. It's not going to change the way that, that you live. The reason that I live in such a fancy way now, it's not because of those $20,000, all the big bucks again, that's fine. But $20,000 is not going to change it. So is that a have some ruba? I would argue that $20,000 is a have some ruba. It feels like a have some ruba at the time that you're writing that check or that you're losing that money. It feels like a have some ruba. So it's a little hard to know. Perhaps a good way to measure is. Would it make a significant difference in your judgment if you had to purchase the item? Let's say you're buying two items, you're deciding between two items of furniture, two couches. You know, should I buy this couch or that one? Well, that was $150 more. So would that be a factor in my decision, or is it just about how comfortable it is and how, so if it's $5 more, it's not even a factor in my decision. I don't even think about it. Right? But if it becomes a factor in my decision, maybe for me that's absolutely. Circumstances could be absent maruba. Right? We have Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, we've already seen. When it's about meat for Shabbos. But Tzorach Gadol can also be determined based on Shalom Bayis sometimes. Right? That could often be a Tzorach Gadol. So the first question, again, it's a difficult question to measure. It seems to be Machlokas HaPoskim that the Pesach Shavu quotes, right? That the Nachla Shiv is going to give a percentage to absent maruba, whereas Harakar says, HaKol V'Ra'os, that the posek has to figure it out. It turns out that if you say that it's a percentage, if you say I call the firos, so you could argue that the rabbi, the kol rabbi was right because, hey, after all, ashil v'yashro, anil v'yanyo. But you could argue, no, kol firos means the bigger picture, that this is a couple that's trying to become from, it's a shalom bias issue, so then that becomes an absolute rabbi. On the second issue, what was the second issue? What if it's not Hafsim Ruba on this one piece, but it would be Hafsim Ruba in Begadol, because I have 1,000 pieces. So Pesachei Teshuvah discusses this as well. And he quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger. He says, I am B'Tshuvah's Ma'ora Golder Rabbi Kiva Eger, Sofsim Mem Gimel. Shekosov Shuhum Mesubuk Bekame Inyanim to Mekilim Hafsim Ruba. And he's Mesubuk about a lot of things that we call Hafsim Ruba. He talks about growths on the lung that fall apart in water. Again, it was this trephis issue. So a person shechted a few animals, and all of the animals that he shechted had the same problem, the same type of growth of the lung, that when you put it in water, it falls apart. So had it been one animal, it wouldn't be absent ruba. That's just the loss you would take. But because it's on so many animals, coincidentally, right, it happens to be that many animals have the same problem. It's not that the one problem, infects many animals. That would be absent ruba. It's that this animal has a problem, and this animal coincidentally has a problem with that. So each shayla on its own is not a hefsim ruba. But when you realize that you're dealing with a lot of them, then it is a hefsim ruba. So Rabbi Kiva Eger thought you could be makel, that is a hefsim ruba. He said if they belong to three different people, even if you're prosecuting all three simultaneously, then it's not a hefsim ruba. Because obviously the hefsim is not about the posek, right? It's not like, wow, I've gotten the shayla 5 times today, this is a huge loss. No, for each person it's a small loss. That would not be Absim Ruba. This is a Shaila that came up in the famous infamous Muncie chicken scandal. Before your time, the infamous Muncie chicken scandal, but it was a big deal at the time. A very firm guy, very well respected in the community. And Muncie was owned one of the popular butcher shops, was caught selling trefa chicken, like mom's trefa chicken. Like he took Empire boxes and he filled it with Purdue chickens or whatever, right? Meaning like mom's trefa chickens. He supplied, what's the wedding hall amount? The atrium, right? He often supplied them with chicken. So anyone who had ever been to a wedding in Muncie had to worry that there may be a trefa. Anyone who did any shopping in Muncie had to worry that they ate trefa. It was a big to-do. He sent letters, I think every Yom Narayim, for several years to the whole Muncie community begging mechila. His wife divorced him, he moved out, he moved to Eretz Yisrael, but he still lives in Eretz Yisrael, I see him in Shul sometimes. He got remarried there and then divorced again because the wife finally got Google and she realized who she had married. Hell, she didn't know initially who she had married. But good pro tip. Before a second marriage, use Google. But anyway, that's a big question. I think she got a get. But anyway, so maybe he's pretty much minding his own business now. My parents told me they were once in a shul in Yerushalayim and he was davening there and someone came screaming like a lunatic, Rasha, get out of here. Like that mantra. Rasha Weiss doesn't think it's a mitzvah to be mefazer him anymore. You know, he's not Jewish, he lost his whole life, he lost everything. And he went to Rasha Weiss always says when it comes to these kinds of things, he always says, if the guy would come to me tomorrow and ask a shayla, am I supposed to commit suicide? So my answer is going to be no, right? So what am I going to do? I'm going to push him in that direction? Meaning everything I'm going to do is going to push him to you have to let a person live. You don't have to let him sell chickens ever again. Right? You don't have to let him, and that halacha doesn't allow to let him sell chickens ever again. Yeah, but you have to, you know, okay, whatever it is. So anyway, the shayla came up. The way that they quote the Kivager is that the entire community has kelim that Lechora were used, or might have been used, for these chickens. So maybe there's makom to be mekel, to be matrik lecheres, perhaps in meruba, or to kasher the kelim, whatever. So is it hefsim meruba? For each individual, it might not be hefsim meruba. For the entire community, it is hefsim meruba. In Yoredeya, in Simon Aleph, Sefir Aleph, there's a Yad Ephraim that has this exact shayla. And he quotes his own shubas. His base of Ephraim. He wrote Shuvah's base of Ephraim. Shiloh was about a butcher that had sold trefas many, many times. Sold trefas many times. And he likely sold chaylev instead of shuman also. But he was selling fatty pieces, he was selling the chaylev. Because he sold to everybody. So he can't be matir, the kli charis, by waiting 24 hours. The chaylev that have tam and are ben yomo, it's tam ki ikar and zdor ha'isa. And if ain't a ben yomo, it's drabana. But it's a Sabbat Daraisa, so it's Galgal Sabbat Rabbah, so it has the status of a Sabbat Daraisa. Meaning the original Shaila was when it was a Ben Yom, and that's a Sabbat Daraisa. So you can have, that's what the Yad Ephraim has. Rabbi Kivager has a tshuva about somebody who inherited China, but it wasn't treif, he doesn't know whether it was milk or proflation, right? We had that Shaila earlier in the year with Rabbi Willard, Rabbi Rabbah, right? So he doesn't remember if it was milk or proflation. Rabbi Kivager says that's a Sabbat Rabbah. And what's the svara? We've quoted this also, right? What's the svara that Sabbat Darabanan didn't even start out as a Sabbat Daraisa? No, because within 24 hours, nobody had the Sabbat. The Sabbat only came up years later, right? Within 24 hours, there was no Sabbat. So you're not going to view that as a Sabbat and a Skalda. But he's only Mekil when you don't remember if it was Milton Reflation. But when it's not kosher, he's not Mekil. So the Beis Ephraim is talking about a case where it was just like this. When it was Ben Yomo, he didn't have a Sabbat. And when he found out, it was already Eino Ben Yom. So he thinks you could be making, right? Because at the time that you should have had the suffix, you were totally clueless. You had no idea. At the time you found out about it, it was already Eino Ben Yom. So it's really a suffix drabana. However, he says, most people were use the same kelim every day. So the blios are mischadesh every day. So you can't call it a suffix drabana. So he writes over there that if one guy has lots of kelim and he doesn't use them every day, and it's a hefsim meruba for that guy, then you could be making for that guy. But again, the point of the Beis Ephraim, is that it's totally on that person. Meaning, even though it's nogea the whole community, we don't view it begadol as absolute. We look at each person the same. Vesafrayim, Yadafrayim, Vesafrayim, the same thing. That was the legend. He was a rich person, so they say that when an ani came collecting by him, the ani was unsatisfied with the donation, and he was standing by the door of the house, and he says, "I see that the Vesafrayim is very big, but the Yadafrayim is very small." Yeah.
If a person has a 20k limit, has a subject, whether it has three or four, and if they have to Nuruba to lose all 20 of them, but to lose one or two would not be answered.
No, the same sack and all goes across the board. Moshem Lebe Vilna in his Beish Lava has a tshuva about somebody who sold trefa cheese. And the Shaul wanted to be matzah the Kalim because it's Eilu Ben Yomo, and this is Rabbanim Babson Maruba. And he defined it as Absalom Maruba by the whole community. So again, it's machlokas. I mean, it's machlokas. Beish Lava says you can only be Makel with three agadols, meaning he was Makel, but also you can start the Bali Itra, you got to do agadol Gimul Pavim. Rashad to point out, agadol Gimul Pavim is in three different pots. It doesn't mean dipping it three times. Shach pointed out when I was talking about the salad dressing case, because the concern is the idea of Hagadol Gimul Pavim is if you do it enough times in different spots, it could be that that's enough to draw out the blia. Then in this environment, but if it's the same environment three times, then it's not going to be enough to draw out the blia. The Marsham in Das Torah adds a kula that a Dover Shkech Ma'od is also Hafsim Ruba, meaning even though right now this is not Hafsim Ruba, it's going to keep coming up. So you know that it's going to keep happening, that's also absolute, because you know that it's going to involve throwing out lots of things. So basically, the Kivegra and the Yadafrayim are Machmir, that you judge it by each person, whereas Beis Shlomo says you could judge based on the entire community in terms of what's called a Hafsimruba. The third Shaila we'll, I guess, start with on Wednesday, is really the most important of the three, that it's Hafsimruba for the company, but it's not Hafsimruba for the consumer. Meaning, even if you could be making, you have to tell the consumer. By the way, we were making all this because it was Hefsim Ruba. Instead of the subpar hashkachas, just giving subpar hashkachas, maybe they should slap it on the OU products that rely on Hefsim Ruba so that everyone will know. Oh, if you don't care so much about hashkachas, then, how do you advertise that? Next time, then we'll move on to some cool